WRWB 49, we're standing by.
WSHF 567, morning time.
WRWB 49, good morning, Sam. O'clock in the morning and already on a Sunday. Where'd you go there, Sam?
Semi?
I was just saying, where'd you go? Yeah, it's like, what is it, nine after five? And they're already starting.
They have nothing better to do in their life.
It's pretty obvious.
I just switched to the new region. Which one sounds better? Do they sound the same?
It was a little bit different, but sounds pretty good.
Is this one getting into the repeater like the other one just was? I'm in the same exact spot.
Yeah, that one sounds pretty good. It's getting in.
So I bought a $50 ticket last night and ended up winning $200. You know what I did with the money, Mike?
What's that?
I gave my wife 40-inch TV. They're only $125 at Walmart.
No, I got a 40-inch. I got a bunch of 32s over here that I don't even use.
So the new TV is sitting on his bed when she comes home. It's in the box, obviously. When she comes home, surprise!
Well, there you go. That'll do it.
What time you headed out?
Around 7. I gotta head out today.
So where you at today, Mount Clemens?
Same spot in Baltimore. No, I'm going to do that guy in Wednesdays. That's it.
Thank you.
WRWD 49, and we're standing by.
Good morning, Mike, WSHF 567. I hope you have a good day there, buddy.
Well, I'm just on my way to work now.
Yeah, I was talking to you, and then all of a sudden I fell back out. Then my 6 o'clock alarm went off, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to get up and go to work.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, I know. What's up, John?
Oh, nothing much. Morning, Mike. Morning, Sam.
Good morning.
WRU-95, mobile and a power supply.
Copy on the mobile and a power supply. I don't know if somebody was trying to jam me or what, but it's a little bit of intermixing.
Yeah, I heard something when I unkeyed before, so that's probably... Another freebie bull thing handed out.
Tell yesterday, when the one guy says, oh yeah, you know, this other guy don't come out here and jam because you don't even have a radio, and guess who keys up? The guy that supposedly doesn't have a radio.
Or a license.
I thought that was funny. I'm like, oh my god. Better get my waiters on. Definitely getting deep.
Oh well.
How you make yourself look like an A hat in a garden room.
So I just rolled out of bed, got the cup of coffee, and got the cat all fed. Figured I'd come down here and turn on some radios. Speaking of mobile and the power supply, we used to mess with guys when they weren't running a radio that had a built-in power supply. You know, guys used to, I mean, and this is how far back it goes, when the Kenwood 430 was a current radio and the 757 Yaesu. It's like, mobile on a power supply. They'd get all bent out of shape.
Bent out of shape? I mean, it's a radio and you're communicating.
And it's on a power supply. An external power supply, so it's mobile. Don't get mad at me for pointing out facts.
Oh, you mean a 50 watt mobile and a power supply?
Yeah, basically. Speaking of mobiles on power supplies, I had ordered some guy on the interweb was 3D printing up these nice little side rails to take them, you know, take the screws out of the side of your mobile and put them through these brackets, and it puts it on a nice little tilt up. You know, it raises the whole radio up. So he wanted $20, so it's like, it's worth it. So I bought one of those, but my mobile on the power supply is actually hanging underneath a shelf with the mobile mounting bracket, so it doesn't need anything to stand it up.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I've seen those. There's a place down in south of the border. And they hot rod these radios, and they customize them with all these jewels and knobs and things, bright lights and all for their breath, you know, and they have those customized brackets.
And I just had a little teeny spider crawl out of the drawer on the left side of my desk. The drawer that I keep all my tools in. And he was sitting right there on the edge, but there's a slide-out tray above that. I couldn't get my hands in there quick enough to grab him, and he darted back into the drawer. It's like, crap.
Usually when I have spiders, the cattle take care of it.
And Mike, you're not talking about Doc Radius' place, are you?
No, why?
Oh, when you said south of the border, I didn't know which border you meant.
No, I'm talking about, you know, Mexico. You know how those guys do those radios up down there, you know, make them all look pretty and fancy, and they got those customized, you know, boxes on for, you know, different, you know, noise, all that jazz.
Okay, yeah, so they got to have the knobs with the jewels and all of that stuff to go with the dingle balls hanging around the with the windshield opening and all the other stuff that they do.
When they tee up, you know, they got the customized program box for all the different, you know, noises and anthems, you know, that they can play. With the customized light meters on the front.
Well, there you go. So, I see many times Arabic drivers or Indian drivers that have you know, tassels and everything all hanging around the windshield of their semi trucks. They got them all dolled up like you're maybe walking into the Sheik's, you know, tent or something in the middle of the desert. You know, they got it all fancied up and everything, so. Hey, if that's what they like, let them enjoy it.
A friend, you know, he used to work for, I think either when he was working with US Express or CR England. Anyway, they had one Arabic driver, and he had a bad hygiene problem, and he'd always bring his creepy crawlies with him. They finally terminated him because, you know, he was contaminating the trucks with bed bugs, and never kept those trucks clean. You know, his maintenance logs were always, you know, piss poor.
Oh, well. Yeah, there's lots of trucker stories. You know, when people are on the road, there's a lot of things that happen and things that people do. And I'm just glad I'm not part of that, you know. Company driver. I got a big truck. I drive the same truck all the time unless it's down for maintenance or something like that. But same truck all the time, and I keep it as clean as I want to keep it clean, you know, and if somebody doesn't like it, if they want it cleaner, they can either clean it or they can leave it and pick a different set of keys, because what they do is when your truck's down, they've got just like it's like a Tupperware bowl, and they put the keys that are available where the driver's not coming in for quite some time, and somebody could run that truck. So there's generally, it depends on what supervisor. My midnight supervisor, he likes throwing three sets of keys in there, so you got your choice of three. But the day shift and afternoon shift, there might be 20 sets of keys in there, and you just grab whatever truck you want. You can sit there. I pull them all out, and I look for one that's the closest to you know, to the driver's room. I mean, we got 170 trucks. I don't want one that's all the way at the back of the parking lot.
I get you. Well, no, his company that he works for, the last one was US Express. You know, those trucks, they have like a high turnover rate, you know, and when he first got the truck, he was like, nah, man, I'm not taking this truck. It was so bad that, they had to get two contractors back, you know, and fill it up because it was that bad. The guy turned his truck in and just left garbage in there. I mean, and it was bad. It was creepy crawlies.
Yeah, there was a guy that retired before I had started working there. And he was known as the captain. And he used to bring in for lunch chicken wings, and he would throw the bones behind the passenger seat. So his steering wheel was always greasy. All the knobs and controls on the dashboard were always greasy. and there was always old dried out chicken bones behind the seat. So if you came into work and they gave you the keys to the captain's truck, you knew somebody, you know, your dispatcher was pissed off at you.
That's gross, man. You know, that harbors all kinds of unwanted deaths.
Well, I'm glad he was gone before I got there. Sam, you're awfully quiet. Don't you have no trucker stories?
Nope, I'm just listening this morning. I'm listening to you guys talk and listening to the other frequency and watching TV. If I got something to say, you guys aren't talking to me, so I don't want to interrupt.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking to Mike either. I'm just talking and he's responding, so feel free to jump in. I mean, you'll participate, even if it's on a different topic. Kind of tired of talking about dirty trucks anyway.
If anybody's looking for a new TV, Walmart's got the 40 inches for $125 and the 43 inches for just a little bit more than that. Not bad for TVs, brand new.
If you would have caught me like last week, I just picked up, like I told you this morning, a 42-inch JVC. Nothing wrong with it. But I already gave it away.
Well, I've got three TVs over here. I got like a, I think it's a 38 or something like that. And then I've got a 42, I think it is. And sort of 50 or something like that. Got three of them over on the other side of the basement. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. I don't want to throw them out. I want to hook one of them up over here, but like I said, I set up this workbench right here, and that pegboard and shelf are right where the television would have been mounted on the wall. And I don't want to put it above that because it puts it way up at the rafters. And I don't want to be able to put like a 40 in, and I wouldn't be able to use that shelf on the top there. So got to come up with a different plan for a television.
These big TVs make good monitors. I use a 50-inch to the right of me. It's got my security system on it. A 70-inch at the foot of my bed. That's what I watch TV on. And there's a 65 in the living room.
Well, we've got, in the living room, we've got our entertainment center, which is just, you know, it's a tall stand. It's the way they make them, and they're not very deep now. But anyway, it's got a DVD player and a VCR. VCR DVD player combo, just in case there's any old tapes we would ever want to watch. And then Cheryl's got, like, you know, some decoration, you know, knick-knack stuff in there on the shelves and everything. There's two cabinets or two shelves, and, you know, one on each side, and then there's a spot in the middle, and she's got more, like, a silk flower or something in there, and there's a drawer. So the drawer's got snacks, and there's a knick-knack shelf on each side that stands up about 5 foot tall. And if we move those shelves away from the entertainment center's center cabinet, if we moved each one over 2 inches, I could fit a 75-inch television in there.
Right on. I just hung it on the wall. It's much easier.
Now there's a window behind it, so can't hang it.
Yep, Roger.
This monitor TV is between the window and the between the window and the closet door. It just fits.
You know, a 65 would work just fine. The a 65 is about 57 inches or so, 56, 57 inches wide. And that entertainment center center cabinet is, I believe, 58 and 3/4 wide. So it would fit on those on that TV stand just fine. But I'm saying, hey, you know, if you can fit a 75 to the 75, I mean, no sense going from a 50 to a 65 if you can go from a 50 to a 75. It's kind of like buying a boat. You know, you got a boat, and you know, you got a 23 footer, and you say, you know, I want to get a bigger boat, and I'm going to get the 25 footer. You know, and they call that, the boaters call that 2-foot-itis. You know, and then you get that boat that's 2 foot bigger, and you're happy with that for about a year, and then the next year you say, oh man, I should have got the 28 footer or the 30 footer. Just go from the 24 to the 30. It's a big enough change to where you'll be happy for a while. You can't do these little increments.
Go big or stay home.
That's right. Go big, go 50 watt mobile, or stay on the porch.
That mobile sounds good. WSHF 567. What antenna are you running?
This is going through a tri-band antenna, which is for 2 meters, 220, and 440. So my SWR is not the best, but you know, hey, good enough. At least the signal's outside.
Well, it sounds good and loud in my radio, and other people are trying to key up and they didn't do the job. Guess what? You know. WSHF 567, and I'm listening.
They were trying to key on you, John, but it wasn't working. It was probably just an HT trying to, you know, flex its muscle. Anyway. Yeah, you guys were talking about old machines. And you forgot about, you know, Betamax, a top-load VHS player, and Laserdisc, and what was that other one? It was a CED or More TV. Looks like a record.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Not the Laserdisc, but they had that other, the other one that was, I forgot what they call that, but I remember that. And that little spider came out of the shelf, and he was on the top of the desk, so I just smacked him down and wiped the juice off my fingers on a paper towel that's right there in the, I got a garbage can right underneath the drawer here, sitting on the floor, so. Got that little bugger.
Spiders are out in full force.
You know what boaters do to keep spiders off their boat?
No, what?
You take bounce dryer sheets and stuff them behind the cushions of your couch and in any little nook and cranny you can. They hate the smell of those bounce dryer sheets, and it keeps spiders off your boat. And it keeps your boat smelling good. So, you know, it's a nice little air freshener and keeps the spiders away.
I take it you're a boater?
I sold it about 5 years ago. I had the boat before that was a 27 footer. And then we didn't go to 29. We jumped up to 33. And the 33 I sold about 5 years ago. I was spending about $12,000 a year boating, so I figured, you know, I'm getting close to retirement. Maybe I should just sell the boat and put that $12,000 into my 401k. So that's what I did.
Yeah, I'll stick to a little roll boat with an engine on it, because I don't roll like that.
know, well, the 33 wasn't all that fast. I mean, it would roll along wide open. It would about maybe 38 miles an hour or something like that. But cruising was right around, 28 to 30. Just rolling along. And so that was fast enough. You know, the boat was 11 feet wide. So it had a little girth to it. Twin 454s that loved fuel.
Every time you went out and every time you came back, it was up to you to fill it up again? Or was it that kind of boat?
Well, I hope not. Not with 200 gallons of fuel.
Holy crap.
Yeah, two 100 is, I think they were 105 gallons each side. But, I mean, you know, basically 200 usable gallons.
That's a lot of fuel.
When I first bought that boat, when I bought the 27 footer, shortly after buying that boat, I ended up getting permanently laid off from my job, and I was off for about 9 months until I found a decent job. I took it as a vacation. You know, I wasn't real anxious about finding another job, but so I kicked back and relaxed a little bit, spent the summer on the boat, and then got a job. So then my credit was in the toilet because I had a bunch of credit cards I couldn't pay on when I was unemployed. So my credit went in the toilet. So then when I bought the 33, I was trying to build my credit back up. And I got a credit card from the credit union, and they gave me, what did they give me? They get like a $500 limit or something like that. And you don't want to use more than 50% of your available credit on a card. So I'd pull up to the fuel pumps, and I'd say, give me $250 on this card. And then I would give them my debit card and say, put the rest on this. And then I'd go pay off the credit card, and then do it again. I had to keep asking for credit increases so I could put gas in the boat.
Serious folks are bust out another 1,000, and that's true. In every word, you know, soreness, all that, winterizing it, it's all cost money. Boats aren't cheap.
Well, just to pay for a dock to keep it in the summer was $3,600. And then it was like another $2,500 for winter storage. Now, I didn't do the winterization and all that stuff. I would with the 27 I did because I winterized that myself, but the 33, you know, you had the air conditioning system, you had to winterize. You had the hot water tank, you had to winterize. You know, the engines, everything, you know, toilet system, all that stuff all had to be winterized. So I paid somebody to do that 1 year, and then I found out, hey, for just a couple $100 more, I could put it in heated indoor storage and leave everything on it, and just they pull it out, they disconnect your batteries, the marina does everything. For like an extra, it's like $400 to $600. So it's like, screw it. It's so much easier to do heated indoor storage, and it's better for the boat sitting outside.
For 1 year, 88 PXJ, you got a sweet deal at Beacon Cove. I think you only paid like $250 for a boat flip. It was cheap. And you got to utilize the pool and everything else. I'd rather just be the person that goes out on the boat and don't own it.
Yeah, just make a donation towards gas. Just say, here, let me cover a little bit of gas for you.
Yeah, put some gas in, have a good... Don't worry about all the rest.
Hey, Mike, for me to go from Algonac Harbor Club to the Gull Island and back, it was over $100 in fuel.
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah, that is a lot.
But you have to consider that, you know, fuel on the water is considerably more expensive than it is on land. You know, you can drive your car around and shop for fuel prices. On the boat, you're kind of stuck. I used to go down to, there's a, it used to be a Citgo, now I think it's a BP, over on 23 Mile, and is it Fairhaven, I guess? Right over by the Island Grill. There's a canal that comes up to, right up to M29, and you come in there I think it was Wednesdays, they would jack up the fuel price 25 cents at their gas station, but then they'd say, oh, we're selling fuel on the water for the same price we are, you know, on land. So they would raise the price 25 cents and then sell it to the boaters, and there'd be a line to get fuel. So I would drive the boat from Algonac down the North Channel and go over by the Island Grill and get fuel on a Wednesday, and luckily, you know, working midnights, I could get there during the day when most people couldn't get there, so the lines weren't that long, you know, in the middle of the day.
What's the gas station you're talking about? Gino and I have been there.
I've still got their phone number in my phone, programmed in my phone memory. So, I'd call them up to find out what the price of fuel was.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of the marinas are buying each other out. Beacon Cove, they just bought that dump over there on the end of North River Road, and they're going to fix it all up.
The one that used to be Blue Lagoon?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. It was called the one next to Del Mar. You know, you got Del Mar on the left, and further left is, of course, you know, you got Mac and Ray. And the very last one is that dumpier one.
Yeah, that was Blue Lagoon. What's his name from the CB? Surface Grinder. He had his boat over at Beacon Cove, and then he ended up going out to Blue Lagoon because it was cheaper than Blue Lagoon. I mean, the first place, they raised their prices, so he bailed on them and went over there to Blue Lagoon. And Dan, yeah, he used to go to his boat every day and sit there and drink beer and socialize. So it was a place to go to get out of the house.
Yeah. And then you got Keenan Marina. They bought the one that was at the end of South River Road just before the DNR public access. They bought that one. And they're fixing it all up.
Yep, so you'll end up with fewer and fewer marinas and less competition for prices, and prices will go up and up. And next thing you know, all the property along the water will be owned by the rich and famous, and poor people like us won't be able to afford to do anything.
Kind of like the car wash industry. Jax is buying up all the competition around here, if you ever noticed. Everywhere you turn now, every car wash is a Jack.
Yep, just like the television stations. This Paramount merger, the guy that owns that, they will have access to, I believe it's it's around 80% of Americans across the country will be subject to watching, you know, exclusively their channels. So they own everything. And by the way, that guy is a big donor to Trump. So that's why you know, these big mergers, and it goes well beyond the laws for having a monopoly on a business. I think it's like 30 or 35% is the limit that the law says that broadcast networks can, you know, own. Only up to 30 or 35% of the market, and they will not. And when this merger finishes going through, they will have access. You know, they will own 80% of the television market.
Ted Turner, you know, he owns a lot of networks. What was it? TBS, CNN. He owned a lot of other networks too, and plus he owned WCW.
Well, those channels you just mentioned are in the deal that will be owned by the big Trump supporter. I forgot what his name is, but people like Pete Hegseth actually come right out and say that, you know, when they're talking about the fake news, you know, it'll be better once this guy owns CNN. You know, then people won't report critical information about what's going on. So, like Hegseth's access to the news, you know, the press briefings by the Pentagon, you know, anything that you're going to print has to be approved by the Pentagon first, and you had to sign the contract with that to agree to it, or you were kicked out of the briefing room. So they've only got people who are friendly towards the administration. I'm getting too political, so I need to change the topic.
Well, between the years of 2008 and 2016, there was a president that did the same thing. And, of course, you know, people were shadow banned for, you know, putting out the truth. And, of course, you know, they got ridiculed and things of that nature. But anyway, I got to go. I got to get inside this here work QTH, so I will talk to you guys later. WRWB 49 will be clear.
Yeah, we got to change the subject to get political here. So anyway, that's my soapbox spiel. So we are RUZ935. Catch you later, Mike.
Good day, Mike. Later and later.
WSHF 567,
monitoring. Yep, me too. I got this piece of equipment here that the little rubber stick-on feet on the bottom of it came off. So I cleaned off the bottom of, or you know, the feet where it meets up with the piece of equipment, and got all of the little sticky pad off of there. And I got my little bottle of crazy glue and a clamp. I got to clamp these feet on there and glue them to the bottom again so that they got, piece of equipment's got rubber stick-on feet. So I don't know anything else that'll work, you know, other than the super glue. Just I got to clamp it on there for a while until that super glue cures. All right, Sam, I'll catch up with you later. WRUZ 935.
935, you have a good day. WSHF 567, clear.
Good morning, everybody. This is WSHQ 257 and the mobile and monitoring.
WRUZ 935.
Z710 for radio check.
Yeah, station out there. You're hard to make out. You got a lot of static in your signal. WRWR 357.
Morning, Detroit Repeater. This is WSMF 861. Can I please have a signal report?
WSIQ 661. WRVS 713 New Baltimore. Do you copy over? WRVS 713 New Baltimore. Do you copy? Negative on WRVS 713 New Baltimore. This is WSGG 772 Shelby Township. We're clear.
WSICA 66 monitoring.
WSIP 284, this is WSIP 257, you out there? WSIP 284, this is WSIP 257, you out there? WSIP 284, WSIP 257, hold on, monitoring.
WSN 2522, Greg, are you out there? WSN 2522, hey Greg, you got a copy of, are you out there?
WSIJ 39 listening. WSEU 202, what a radio check.
Well,
that last station calling, you were coming through just a little low, but very clear.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You said it was very clear, but what? WSCU 202, good evening.
WSHR 566 to 946. Are you out there, Rob? No copy on 946. WHHR 566, clear.
QO2 to 946.
WSKY 567, attempting to make contact with Detroit. Repeater. Again, this is WSKY 567, attempting to make contact with Detroit. Repeater.
Station 20, SBY station, come back
and try it again. This is WRVV
690. Nothing heard. WRVV
690,
clear.
WSKY 567, we're clear.
WRVC 771. Does anyone know if the Detroit repeater is going to be back up?